Father, we do come into your presence with praise and with adoration and with anticipation and with awe, because you're an awesome God. Amen. And Father, as we set aside this time to worship, we pray that the words that we speak and the meditation and the attitude of our heart will be acceptable to you. Again, Father, we give you the glory and the honor because you are worthy of it. Bless this time. We ask it in the name of Jesus for thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Congregation, please stand. John 6, verses 60 through 71.
This will finish this chapter. Then next Wednesday night, we will have our prayer meeting for those of you that are around. I know it's Christmas week and all that, but we'll read one of the Christmas passages next Wednesday evening. John chapter 6, verse number 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?"
When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?
What then if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?"
It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life.
But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him.
And he said, "Therefore saith I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father."
From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him.
They said, "Jesus is this world, will ye also Thanks, go away?"
Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life."
And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God.
Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?"
He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of 12.
Of the Christmas songs, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. By the way, I keep forgetting to announce this some, but some of you have found them, I see. But we have pocket calendars, and we have wall calendars. I have more pocket calendars over in my office. They sent a ton of them. So if you want some, take them. If you'd like some to pass out, take them. You can give out as many as you would like. We have a bunch of those. They also have a calendar in there, and they exclude Sundays, but you can read your Bible through in a year if you follow that plan. You can check off each day, and if you get behind, you can just keep following along till you get there. As we continue with some of the topical studies in the book of Proverbs, I only have a few more left that I think I'm going to touch on. You have found out, I hope, that Proverbs deals with a lot of the practical area of life. Several weeks ago, I guess maybe even last summer, I can't remember when it was, but I mentioned in a Sunday message the word tongue and how often the word tongue was used in the book of Proverbs. And so somebody took the time and typed it into their computer, and I got it's like 3 pages of handouts of all the verses, I think, that have the word tongue in them. And most of them are in the book of Proverbs, and maybe we'll get to that as well. But tonight, I'd like you to look at Proverbs chapter 20, in verse 6 and 7. It says, "Most men will..." let me try that one more time. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." Look at chapter 25 and verse 19. "Confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken truth. It's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint." Now, obviously not very pleasant. If you look back at chapter 20 and verse 7 again, it says, "The just man walketh in his integrity." Another one of the top topics or subjects in the book of Proverbs is that of integrity. Or you could say somebody who is blameless in their lifestyle. On the mission field, I think one of the places in Congo, there was a term that was used from the lips of the heathen, the lost people, actually, the lost heathen people of Congo used this phrase. I can't give you the phrase, but I can tell you what it meant. It meant real Christian. When a heathen man called a believer by that name, he was known as a real Christian, or he was known as a man who was honest, decent, somebody of integrity. Real Christian is there. And that's the kind of person that they were talking about. Unfortunately, not all the tribe people in Congo trusted Christ as their Savior, but the missionaries were well respected by all because they were known as real Christians, people of integrity. In fact, this is one of the stories about that. One time there was a little trouble, and the missionary was accused of hiding a prisoner. So that's what he was accused of. A tribal court was held. The supreme chief questioned the Christian, the missionary. He said, "Tell me the truth. Did you hide the prisoner?" And the Christian said, "No, chief, I did not hide the prisoner." The chief turned immediately to his very own warriors, and the story says, with fire in his squinting eyes, and he yelled to all of his warriors, "You are all liars. Don't you know that this man is a real Christian? He always tells the truth." Now, that's a tremendous testimony. I think I've told you the story before when I worked at the mill, and somebody accused me of using some foul language. And I will admit, I was not happy with my boss, and I had to go apologize to him later because he knew I wasn't happy with him, because in all honesty, I told him. Wasn't talking about it, might as well talk to him, right? So, actually, it wasn't my boss. It was the guy that worked in the lab. And then the guy that went in the lab went and told my boss some things that I said. He said, "No, he never said those things." He said, "How do you know?" He says, "Because he never talks like that. He never uses that kind of language." And I didn't use that kind of language. I wasn't happy with the lab people, I can tell you that. But I did not use that kind of language. And I don't know that Christians ought to use that kind of language. And we ought to be honest in our speech. Now, let me give you some practical qualities that make up integrity. And these are things that we can practice in our life. I got four or five of them here. First of all, practice honesty. God's people should be known as honest people. You know, the Lord has a right to expect you and I to be honest. Now, this isn't always true, but this is true a lot. It takes time to build a reputation as somebody who speaks the truth. And sometimes it only takes one lie to destroy it. Now, I wouldn't personally, if someone lied to me once and never lied to me before that, I wouldn't say they're not people of the truth. But that's not everybody. That's only me. There are some people that if you lie to them one time, they'll say that's what you are. And then you got to start from ground zero and build it back up again. But if you lie consistently or habitually, or what's that word? Pathological liar. Is that it? Was I close? Thank you. Pathological liar. If you're known as that, then you lack integrity. So what we need is we need to be people who are honest. In all of our business affairs, won't tell you who, but I would go shopping with a guy when I was younger, and he would take the price tag off of this thing that was less, and put it on this thing, and take the one that was more and put it over on that thing. He'd walk up to the cash register, and they'd ring, that's not the right price. Oh, that's the right price. That's the sticker that's on there. And ultimately, he'd buy it like that. That's not honest. That's dishonest. We are to be honest in our business affairs. We are to be honest with our bills and paying our bills. And as Christians, they should be paid on time. We even need to be honest sometimes when it might cost us. Honesty. We need to be people who will tell the truth. And I think you can choose to be people. I can choose to be a person who's honest. Here's a second quality trait or practical quality trait of integrity. It is consistency or dependability. Dr. Bob Jones used to say, the greatest ability is dependability. You ought to be somebody that other people can depend on. Do you know who, as a rule, are the people that God uses the most? Those who trust him, those who are busy, and those who are dependable. people that you can count on to man their post when it needs to be manned. Paul was getting ready to leave the earth. He told Timothy, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He goes on and he says in 2 Timothy 4:8, preach the word. And then he said this, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, be instant in season and out of season. When things are good, be up. When things are bad, be up. And you know what he said when he said be instant in season and out of season? He said, Timothy, you need to be consistent. Day in and day out, you need to be a person of integrity. You should be the same no matter what. You should be the same in the church as you are away from their church. You should live a godly life here. You should live a godly life out there. Don't put on a show in front of us. You don't have to put a front on in front of us to try to impress us by how godly you are. You should just do what's expected of you to do the way you are expected to do it and just be a person of consistency and dependability. Do right because it's right. Do right because it pleases God. Don't be down one day, up the next day, down one day, moody the next day. Just try to be consistent. Be consistent. Don't be mushy, wishy-washy, unreliable. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Proverbs 25, go over there again. Verse 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble. The unfaithful man here is the undependable man, is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Do you ever have a broken tooth? Anybody here ever broke a tooth? Well, several of you. Wasn't it a pleasant experience? It's not a pleasant experience. I've never broke a tooth. Mine just get so bad, I just have them pulled before they break. I've had them abscessed. Oh, they're painful. And I've had, when I was a young teenager, half of my teeth in my mouth were like had cavities in them. Oh, and I my mouth would swell up and just ache. But that's how an unfaithful man is. Or you've had it uses the phrase here, a foot out of joint. But if you ever pulled a bone or pulled something out of joint or broken a bone, they're not very pleasant either. That's the kind of a guy who's not dependable and not reliable is. He's like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. And you get the idea that that's not real joy. God is asking his people then, please be consistent. Please be dependable. Show the world a godly testimony. You ought to care about your testimony, by the way. You should be honest. You should be consistent. You should be dependable. Thirdly, you should develop some convictions as a person of integrity about things. I think a person with proper convictions believes in right from wrong, and they will defend right, and they will fight wrong. You've heard me say there's things to fight, and there's things that we don't need to fight. You have the ability to see things in black and white, and some things are just wrong, and some things are just right. Now, a conviction is something that you're willing to die for. A preference might be something that you prefer, but you're not necessarily willing to die for it. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, washes away all sins. I would die for that. I believe the King James Bible is God's preserved word. I'd die for that book. There's a lot of other things that I would die for. I wouldn't die for everything. I believe that we have certain rights that we ought to have that God gave us. I believe abortion is wrong. Amen. I would die for that. You know, I don't know if I thought of this or somebody mentioned this to me. But boy, there's a lot of talk about, and please don't think I'm making light of this. There's a lot of talk about 28 people that got killed in Connecticut. I don't hear a whole lot of talk about every 95 seconds Planned Parenthood aborts a baby. The Holocaust was a terrible thing. But we have our own Holocaust. And it continues to go on. I'd die for that. That's a conviction that I have that is wrong. Homosexuality and homosexuals continue to make progress. It's an abomination to God. That's a conviction that I have. I don't think we should back down from that. I think that's something that we fight for. Now, there are certain things that integrity has taken a hit on, and the ability to see things right from wrong may be the worst. Because really, there's not a lot of people that want to stand for what's right, because it's easier just to go along and fit in with the crowd. I want you to look at a few passages with me. Psalm 1:1 is one of them. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This person has developed some convictions, and he has separated himself from evil by choice. He says, I'm not going to walk there, I'm not going to stand there, and I'm not going to sit there. Chapter 4 and verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. We know that God has set them apart, and they are set apart for godliness. In Daniel chapter 1, oh, look at that. Turn right to it. I'll read a long passage, you can get there. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So Daniel said, you know what, I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not. I'm set apart for God, and I'm not going to defile myself. Now God had brought Daniel, verse 9 Daniel 1. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this manner, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all of the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. They were looking better. Then Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all of his realm. Daniel made a choice, separated by decision, and he said, I'm not going to defile myself, I'm going to stay pure, and God blessed that. Look at chapter 3 and verse 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worships it, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Those three guys said, you know what, we're going to separate ourselves by choice, and we're not going to defile ourselves. Now, I think you have a right to expect I live a certain way. I think I have a right you live a certain way. And I think, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a right to expect certain things out of us. Did you ever lose it? I mean, something ever happened once in a while, you just flat lose it. I mean, you rant and rave and carry on like, you know, you lost it. I don't expect you to do that. You don't expect me to do that. And I don't think the Lord expects us to do that. God has a right to expect me to be honest and blameless and decent and to have integrity. The last, I don't know, 40 or 50 years or whatever it's been, we've taught us not to trust anybody. Politics have eroded. Some of us still remember Watergate and Whitewater, adultery in the White House, adultery in the church house. Businesses appear to be interested in one thing, the almighty dollar. I had lunch with a guy today who works for the Bank of America, and he says people aren't real happy with the Bank of America today. And he works there. He understands where some of these places have gone. We may not change all these things, but we need to be people who are different and do right, you know, for no other reason than because it's the right thing to do. Don't justify your wrong. Don't say, well, they're doing it, and if they're doing it, I can do it. Don't look at things like that. We need to be people who are upright and people who are full of integrity, real character. And there is a forgotten quality when we think about this, and that is called in the Bible purity of heart. How is your heart? How's your thought life? As Christians, we need to do right because it's right. Now, if you're going to do this, you've got to yield to Christ in order for godly principles to really sink in your life and you live them. Trying to be good on your own just doesn't cut it. Christ is still the answer, no matter what the question, but we've got to yield to him. So how do I live with integrity as part of my life? How do I, if I've lost it, rebuild integrity? Let me give you several things. I've got a bunch of references. I won't look at them all. I will mention them, though. Romans 13, 12 and through 14 says, talks about my Christian lifestyle, tells me how I should live. Romans 14, 17 and 18 talks about it's a true measure of spirituality, a person of integrity. In chapter 14, verses 20 through 23, it talks about how my integrity should be so I don't harm others. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it talks about I am crucified with Christ. Ephesians 5 talks about improper associations. Colossians 2 deals with this difference between separation and legalism. Titus 2 talks about resist ungodliness and lust. 1 Peter 1 is a call to holiness. 1 Peter 4 is us to be separated from things of the world. And Romans chapter 12 tells us not to be conformed to this world. Separation and worldliness and carnality, they kind of all go together. And we are to be careful of how we live our lives. God's people need to have some convictions. And we need to stop tolerating everything. With this grand jury, tomorrow's my last day. It's been 2 months, so I'm glad. It's been interesting. And a lot of it, in all honesty, I've kind of enjoyed a lot of it, the truth is. And most people, I'm sick and tired of hearing drug cases and DWI cases, I will say that. But, you know, and I've been told that in our area, the crime of robbery has increased ever since they put the casino in. And you will be amazed at how many crime cases, robbery cases that we've done in that area, like over in there. Today we had one from Vienna. Actually, never mind. That's not totally true. Not far from your house, Mark, but that guy was in four different counties, so I guess we couldn't say that it was just you. But it's amazing how crime has increased since the casino has come in. You know, not all entertainment is godly entertainment. Not everything a Christian should involve themselves in. I think we're in a lukewarm Laodicean church age. A person with integrity stands up for what's right because it's the right thing to stand up for. And he says, I know everybody else goes over there, but I'm not going to. Anyway, my time is up. I will stop right there. Now, let me just say this. Don't mistake respectability for integrity. Respect can, because of fear, power, position, wealth, intimidation. But integrity stands on its own character. So the question I would propose to you is, would you decide to practice the qualities that make up integrity, like honesty and consistency and convictions, and just living a godly life and doing right because it's the right thing to do? Well, Father, we don't want to be like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. We want to be people who are dependable, reliable, honest, trustworthy, consistent, in season and out of season. And Lord, as we strive to be this, may we always try to please you with our life. In Jesus' name, amen.